Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name. Thank you, Father God. We thank you. We praise you. You are Almighty God. We bless you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you saying thank you today. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Lord God, because you are worthy. Hallelujah. Those that are listening, before we go into the message, before we go into the broadcast, I just want you to just take a moment to think on the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the mercies of God. Just think for a moment. And without anybody pushing you, just tell God thank you. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Lord, you deserve the glory. Jesus, there is none like you. None that could even compare. None who were even willing to do what you had done, Lord God. Even if they were willing, they weren't able, Lord God. I thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb that gives us access. The blood of Jesus gives us access into the holy place where the Father dwells, that we may obtain the things that belong to us, the things that were paid for with your blood, for us to have, Lord God, a greater inheritance. Lord God, we thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, your spirit is good. Your spirit is life. Your spirit is truth. And we cannot make it without your spirit. Your word declares, Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, Father God, silence my mouth tonight and insert your words. Speak, Holy One, to these your lambs. You said to Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Father, this thing is not about any one of us in particularly, but it is about you feeding the sheep through that willing vessel. I become that willing vessel before you now, Father, that your sheep may graze and eat, and let the food that comes forth from your word be life to them. It is life. Lord God, I pray for the ears of those that will hear on today. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you will cause them to hear the word as you prescribe it, not as they perceive it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we crucify flesh right here on the altar. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are, Lord, you are in demand, Lord God. So we are ready to receive. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God. Once again, I praise you. I lift you up. You are a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. The same God that worked the last miracle is able to work the next miracle. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. The same God that brought you through last time is able to bring you through this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. I praise you, Lord, for who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for divine protection for your children on tonight, for each one of your children on tonight. Lord, I just thank you that you are providing protection, Lord God, where the enemy has set traps to destroy lives. Lord God, we overturn them right now, and we declare no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your word. Glory to God. Well, bless the Lord. This is Minister Sir Ryan Davis here exalting Jesus on the Now Network. God bless all those who are listening. God bless the founder of this great work, the apostle, the man of God, Pastor Edward Hamilton. We honor you, sir. I wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all that are out there or listening, maybe by way of the radio for Now Radio for You app, or maybe you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, or you've called in, or you're listening live on social media. However you're hearing this, maybe you're going to hear this on the archives later. There is a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. He did speak. Hallelujah. He speaks. He's a speaking God. He speaks. He's a living God. So there is a word on today. Glory be unto the Lord. But I just want to, you know, so honor where honor is due. God bless you to all the ministers on the line, those who minister throughout the week on this various broadcasts on this network. God bless you. For every leader on the line, God bless you. I believe there is a word today that is going to encourage us to go a little further with God to the next dimension. Hallelujah. Not the next level, but the next dimension. Hallelujah. So glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Once again, I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. and this is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. So last week we had some technical issues. We weren't able to go live on the broadcast, but to God be the praise, everything is up and running smoothly. And I believe the last message delivered was, "This is kingdom." Hallelujah. Now, anybody that's following this broadcast and this network, you know that the theme for the Exalting Jesus has shifted. By the moving of the Spirit of God, he has shifted us into a series of the mind-renewing series. Because what has to happen is anything we're going to obtain from God, we have to obtain it in that new place. That's why we got to go to the new dimension now. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at and you're listening to this, I want you to say new dimension. Just say new dimension. We're going to a new dimension. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to a new place. There's a new place in God for somebody. Hallelujah. I feel prophetic, but I want to teach this word. But there's a new place for you in God. And you got to shift when he shifts. You can't shift on your own. Mm-mm. But when he's moving, when he's speaking, when he's thrusting you, you got to go. Hallelujah. Because he's always about bringing us into something new. Everything about this new covenant is new. New promises. Hallelujah. New platforms, new places, new provision. Hallelujah. That word's for you. Catch it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let me deliver this message as the Lord's instruction. Hallelujah. The Lord knows who listens. He knows who's listening and what your heart is panting for. Hallelujah. He knows what you're pulling on him for is going to come out of the mouth of the preacher, because we've already submitted and laid flesh on the altar. So when you pull on God, then God will direct the word directly to you. Hallelujah. But don't pull on the preacher, okay? Glory to God. Pull on God and let the preacher just give what God wants you to have. Because anything God wants you to have is never a trap. Mm-mm. Glory to God. Watch this. Anything God wants you to have is never a trap. Okay? What the Lord provides is not going to be a trap for you. Somebody need to hear that. See, the Holy Ghost is large and in charge. Watch this. I'm going to flow in this. The message that I was given to speak on today, hallelujah, is faith. The Lord said faith. Then he showed me something. He said, "I want to show you something in my word concerning faith." God is an awesome God. What we need to understand is faith is not just a principle, but it's a law. It's not just a law, but it's substance that we've got to have within us. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, we don't realize what faith is and what it isn't, because we're too big in glory. Hallelujah. Y'all got to pull on God now. Hallelujah. We don't often realize what faith is because we're looking at earthly things. And that's the number one hindrance to our faith, because what you see is going to hinder your faith from what God said. Watch this. What God says is what produces your faith. The Word of God clearly says in Romans chapter 10, around about verse 15, I believe 16, somewhere in there, he says that faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to find that exact verse, and we're going to teach from that. I want to teach tonight. The body of Christ has so many prophets, so many apostles, even evangelists. But one thing that you don't hear a lot of is teaching. We don't hear a lot of teachers and or teachings. So we have to begin to enter into the realm of teaching, because what teaching is going to open up is a greater level of understanding for the people of God. When we understand, then we are made more powerful. Listen, God said to me once, he said, "Seek not greatness, but seek understanding." Amen. Something told me 17. Thank you, man of God. God said, "Seek not greatness, but seek understanding." This is the 17th year, so we're going to start with the 17th verse, Romans 10 and 17. He says, where am I at? Hold on a second. I want to get back to this thing about teaching. We've got to begin to esteem the teaching of the word. Let me explain something. Prophets can throw it out there, and you got to catch it, okay? Apostles can bring you governmental order and establishment of the word of God, and not just the written word, but the oracle of God. They speak a living word. Okay, this is what the Bible says. They continue in the doctrine of the apostles. That means you got to always have an apostolic mantle to bring forth fresh doctrine from the kingdom of God to hear on earth, so the people can hear on earth, that the kingdom will be established here on earth. Now watch this. But the teacher, he's going to take the word that you receive and help you digest it. In other words, you can take a steak, you still got to chew it up. And it's got to be broke down in order for you to digest it, to really understand what God is saying to a people. Hallelujah. So the teacher's job is to come and make sure all the nutrients that's in that meat, that's in that bread, get into the body. So this is why sometimes y'all will hear me and I'll shift. I'll come in and I'll feel the prophetic. That's because people are pulling on gifts. You can, but when God sends you, he sends you with an apostolic mandate. But when he wants the people to learn, he says, teach. Watch this. So the teaching of God's word is going to break it down to where we can get everything out of it we're supposed to get. Because what happens is when we skip steps, sometimes it can cause problems. Sometimes God will shift you where you don't need no steps. That's why he speaks of the dimensions. You can go from level one to level two, or you can go from here to there without the steps. But God has to put you on an elevator for that to happen. Now watch this. I'm gonna go into this word. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Notice the word cometh. It's continual. It's not a one-time thing. Faith is not a one-time thing. It has to keep coming. And it comes by hearing. This is why we got to have the preacher. This is why I'm breaking down the different dimensions of the fivefold, the apostolic, the prophetic, and the teacher mantle. Now, the pastor and the teacher and evangelist are almost one and the same, but they have different functions, okay? But when you read, when Paul writes, he writes in one place, he speaks of fivefold. He speaks of, in Ephesians 4 and 11, he speaks of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. That's five. But then in another place, he writes and he says the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers. Okay, so he just deals with the three, because the evangelist is a type of teacher, but he's also a type of prophet. The pastor is a type of teacher, but he's also a set man, set in position to feed. Watch this. So everything has a proper function when we understand how this stuff works and how God breaks it down. Okay, now he says faith cometh by hearing. This is why you need a preacher. So anybody say you don't need preachers, they don't know Bible and they don't really know God, because everything God has done, he's always used somebody to bring it forth in the earth, even to the point that Jesus, who is God, became one of us to teach us. And he taught and he preached, and he not only did he preach, but he demonstrated. Now, watch this. So he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only way you're going to have enough hearing to have enough faith to make it through this season into your next dimension is you got to hear the word of God. That means God has to have somebody what he wants said. This is God's government. This is not man trying to bring you in the bondage of his understanding. This is God's government. The preacher don't pick the job. The job picks them. Okay? So God says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The word of God is not just the book. An atheist can tell you every word in this Bible. Don't you know they read the Bible? They read the Bible but don't believe there's a God. So it's not just the book. But the word of God is the living essence of what is written in the book when it gets on the inside of you by faith. And the faith starts by hearing the preaching of the gospel. So this is why we always got to remember the cross. Well, we always got to go back to the foundation, not to rebuild the foundation. But whenever you hear me preaching to Christians about Jesus on the cross, about Jesus resurrected, about who Jesus is, about the narrow path, about the things that pertain to the basics, the elementary doctrines of the faith. When you hear me preach on those things or teach on those things, it's checking the foundation for cracks or erosions, making sure that the foundation that you're building on that foundation. Don't you know you can lay a foundation and then go over here somewhere and start building on the sand? and the house looks pretty and it's got the name all over it, but you own the wrong foundation. So what has to happen is you got to make sure the foundation is right. And not only that, that you take heed how you're building. Watch this. Listen, I'm not all over the place. The Holy Spirit is scanning the airwaves. He knows who's listening and what word needs to be heard. Listen, you have various people on various levels that are hearing, and they all hear something different. This is why God has to bring us to a place of faith so that we hear what he's really saying. I'm going to read that verse again. He says, so then, faith cometh by hearing. That's continual, not what you heard once. Oh, I heard God back 10 years ago. What is he saying today? Did he talk to you now? See, hearing is a continuous thing. So those that say God ain't talking a lot, no, we're not listening enough. God, now everybody saying God said ain't hearing God. True indeed. That's the truth. Some folk lying on God. But the fact remains that the word of God is living. It's active. So he's speaking continuously. But the Lord told me once recently, he said, the problem's not that I'm not speaking. You're all not willing to listen. We're chasing the world. We're looking at one another. We're looking at flesh. So that's what gets us off from hearing God. But when God wants to speak, he's going to raise somebody up. He's going to put a word in their mouth. Hallelujah. When God wants to speak to you personally, he's going to get you quiet. He's going to make you lay down somewhere and get on your face. He's going to make you open that Bible. Sometimes he's going to tell you, close the book and open your ear. That's how the Lord speaks. Because faith come by hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is what brings us to faith. The word of God is deeper than just the pages of the Bible. That means God has people that he's going to speak to direct you. He's going to tell you something about you or about another person. He's going to tell you something personal. Because he's God and he's still a living God. He subjects himself to the law of the book, but he's not just the book. He's God. He's infinite. So that means there's infinite wisdom in the pages, but it takes illumination. It takes the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Faith. What is faith? So, in order to get faith, we got to hear. We have to keep hearing. We have to keep hearing. But the way hearing is developed is by the Word of God. That's why we need a preacher that's anointed. Without the oil, the lamp don't work. It's not going to have no light. So, in other words, without anointed preaching of the word of God, when there's no anointing, then people cannot hear. Then hearing, they're not hearing the word of God. They can hear the word of man. They can hear theology. They can hear philosophy, and they can hear motivational speaking. They can hear all this stuff, but the anointing destroys the yokes. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing of God, the oil. Some of y'all say, well, why God keep crushing me? That's why, because he's anointing you through your crushing. The olive has oil in it. The only part of the olive that's discarded when the crushing begins to take place, when you crush an olive, the oil starts to flow. But the flesh of the olive is brought into subjection to the crushing. Hallelujah. God, listen, when God wants to subdue the will of your flesh, then he allows certain trials in your life. But the oil is flowing. Hallelujah. Watch this. The flesh doesn't always, we talk about flesh, we think about sex all the time. That's the only thing we think of is of the flesh. You can have a fleshly desire for other things, for money, for popularity, for control. You can be have a domination mindset, and that can come from the flesh. So anything that's ungodly is in the flesh. It's not just sexual. See, we think, well, because I'm not daydreaming about a man or a woman, I'm not in the flesh. You can be in the flesh, even just, you know, all about, you know, you care more about ministry than you do about God. A relationship with God, that's flesh, if you don't have that relationship with God. So it has to be brought into subjection. Watch this. I'm not going to say too much, but watch this. He says, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, let me show you this revelation the Lord began to give me on last night when he gave me this. He sent me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to show you this. The Lord said, I'm going to show you something about faith. Look, in this chapter, there was a man with a withered hand. A withered hand. And in fact, it said his right hand was withered. Verse number 6, it says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into to the synagogue and taught. So here's Jesus teaching the church folk. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now, my grandmother did a message a while back talking about the man who was laid at the gate called Beautiful. And when they picked him up, they picked him up by his right hand. And she said, why the right hand? There's something about the right hand. The right hand symbolizes strength. It symbolizes authority. It symbolizes power, might, and approval, and blessings. So when you hear about the right hand, okay, watch this. Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goat in Matthew 25. And he says to the sheep, come on my right hand, and to the goats on the left hand. And then later on, he tells them that's on the left hand, depart from me. So the left hand of God represents judgment. It represents disapproval. Okay, but the right hand of God represents approval, blessing. Watch this. So we're still talking about faith, and this is still in the Renew Another Mind series, because we're going to renew our mind. We got to believe. Some things God's going to do to cause us to believe again, because sometimes the trials come and they sap the strength out of us, and they don't take our faith in God to the point that we don't believe in God, but sometimes we can't believe God for certain things because of certain things that have happened. So what God has to do is allow a word to come forth and allow certain things to take place, miracles to happen, so that we can believe again. Hallelujah. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we don't even have anything to boast about. We can't even believe God without God. Ain't he that wonderful? Hallelujah. Watch this. So here's this man with the right hand withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. Okay, so these people were religious. All they knew was the law. All they knew was Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. That's all they knew. So every time Jesus worked a miracle, it was on the Sabbath. If you notice, it says here he was on another Sabbath. So here's Jesus on another Sabbath. Every time he was going to go in their face and do a miracle, he was doing it on the day they said he shouldn't have been doing it, because he was showing them that you know the law, but you don't have this power to bring forth no healing. So God's going to work a miracle in the midst to shut them up. Watch this. Hallelujah. Watch this. But what Jesus did, he goes to the man in verse number, skip down to verse number 10. It says, and looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. Watch this now. Pay real close attention to what the Lord is saying here. He's telling this man to do something he can't do. His arm and hand is withered. Do you understand? Withered means dead. It's dried up. It's dead. It's like a withered tree limb. There's no life in it. There's no moisture in it. It's dead. It's dry. It lacks life. The nerves and all that, the tissue is damaged and deteriorated. It's like a dead. It's like carrying dead weight. And yet Jesus don't touch him. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't lay hands on him and command him to, command the disease or the demon or nothing. He just tells the man to do something you can't do. Hallelujah. Ponder that for a minute. So here's the man of God, or he is God, Jesus. Here he is giving an instruction to a man who can't do, yet he receives faith at the hearing of the preacher. The preacher told him do it, although he couldn't do it. Watch this. This is the kind of God we serve. The preacher tells him, stretch forth your hand. And the Bible says this, and he did so. Watch this. This is the kind of faith we're getting ready to enter into. Hallelujah. Because watch this. We've had a generation of people trying to show off power. Every believer has power. If you got the Holy Ghost down in your belly, can't nobody convince you you ain't got no power. Unless you're just ignorant enough to believe it. Every believer has power. And if you feel with the Spirit, you got a greater measure of power. But what happens is everybody don't have faith. So what's been happening is we've had a generation of people running around trying to prove their power to a faithless people. This thing works hand in hand. You got to have faith as well as the one that's giving you the word of God has it. Watch this. Jesus told the man to do something he did not have the ability to do. How do we know? Because he'd been that way his whole life. But he heard the word. At that moment, that was his hearing. In that moment, he was hearing Jesus speak. And something in his spirit caught on to it. And whatever his natural condition was, no longer mattered. He stretched out that withered arm, and it came alive. Jesus didn't say, I command your arm to live again. Nope. Jesus didn't touch him and put oil all on him and butter him up and say, in the name of Jesus, 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 oh, Lord. He didn't do all that. He just told the man, stretch forth your arm. And the man stretched it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and he did so. This is an it is so season we're entering into. I don't know how. I don't care how. It's not my business to do nothing but believe in the Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, that you can ask or think, that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now watch this. The man already has some power in him. Jesus spoke to the man to do something that it took power, oh glory, to overcome. Can you imagine a withered limb? So here's what had to happen. God had to have an amazing anointing on Jesus that when he spoke, there was authority that was greater than what was binding this man's body. The spirit that was speaking out of Jesus was more authoritative than the power of the infirmity of the flesh. Can anybody believe God today? Hallelujah. Watch this. Faith, the renewing of the mind. Watch this. Watch this. Hallelujah. Jesus told the man, he says, stretch out your arm. The Bible says, and he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Hallelujah. Restoration is my portion. I dare you to say it. Restoration is my portion. And not only was he restored, but it says whole as the other. So that means something was missing. Something was lacking. We talk about people's conditions, but they're missing something. Something's not whole. Something has to be restored. But we listen, it's got to be faith in the word and faith in the word alone. But watch this. The word got to come from the anointing. There's got to be oil. We've been seeing a lack of miracles in the body of Christ because the oil hasn't been flowing. Can we be honest? Hallelujah. The Bible says, as Christ suffered, arm yourself. As Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. Didn't say as Christ was glamorized in this world, be like that. No, it says as he suffered. So this way is a suffering way sometimes. But guess what? The oil gonna flow. Hallelujah. We'd be like Peter and them. Peter and John told the man, they said, silver and gold, I ain't got none of that. But as I have, receive ye in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Take up your bed and walk. Somebody gonna get healed at the hearing of this kind of preaching. Bring the sick to hear. Hallelujah. And at the hearing, Jesus didn't touch the man. He spoke. And the man believed and he got what he wanted, what he needed. Hallelujah. So there's an anointing for preaching under the power of God that brings forth healing. There's an anointing coming for preaching that works forth miracles without man's hands. Yes, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's a part of the inheritance of the believer. But sometimes God's going to say, speak to the rock, don't smite the rock, because he wants all the glory. And he wants it to be known that there is a God in heaven. And he's definitely operating in the affairs of man today. Hallelujah. Faith, faith, faith. This word ought to stir you up to believe God on a higher level, that we go from faith to faith. We're going to skip the steps and go from this dimension of faith to that dimension of faith. Watch this. I'm getting ready to take a turn on you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse number. I'm going to calm down. I'm preaching and not teaching. I'm going to calm down. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anybody got hope today? I do. There's something hope for. Anything you hope for, you don't really have. If I'm hoping for something, then I don't have it, but I have faith, which is the substance of it. Watch this. Let me break this down. Everything, if we're going to understand faith in this time, in this dispensation, we're going to have to now begin to have a renewed mind by the word of God. Watch this. Everything about the kingdom of God is opposite. Watch this. When you was born into this world, You came from the spirit world into the natural. You had faith because you was a spirit. And you came through your daddy's seed as a sperm cell and outswam millions. You outswam millions to crack that egg first to get here. So you got faith. I don't care how bad life has been. I don't care how devastating it has been. I don't care about your circumstances. So you got faith. The power is already in you. Somebody just needs to remind you of such. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. Watch this. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You came from a spirit world into this world to be materialized in the natural. I'm going to say that again. You came from the spirit world into the natural world to be materialized in this natural world. That was how you got here. But now to believe God into the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of God, you got to reverse that thing. Everything about the kingdom of God is opposite from birth, from starting from birth on out to death. See, for the believer, death is life. This is why we're not afraid to die. You know, a true believer is not afraid of death. In fact, some of us have prayed for death, and God said, no, you can't go yet. You got work to do for my kingdom. So a true believer, you know, ain't afraid to die. You threaten to kill them, they're going to get happy. Oh, I'm going to be with Jesus. Somebody else will have to carry the work. But listen, everything about the kingdom of God is opposite, from birth to death. So we're born out of the spirit into the natural, the first birth. But God says you got to be born again. You must be born again. So now that means you transition backwards. You got to learn how to drive in reverse if you're going to be successful in the kingdom. Watch this. I ain't talking about backsliding. Don't nobody get it twisted. I'm talking about you got to think total opposite of the way of the world. You do. Everything about God is total opposite of the world. Glory be to God. Watch this. So God, hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Ghost. God wants us, when you're born again in the spirit, he wants us to understand that to be born in the spirit is you a flesh man, but you got to have something within you to now says, I deny the natural materialized world, the self that I am in this world. Jesus said, deny yourself. It's not just turning down your plate. It's not just I don't hit you in the mouth when you're talking crazy. It's not just, you know, giving of my substance or, you know, denying yourself means denying this self of this world, the other self, the self that you became to get here. And now you say, okay, I'm here. I'm here on a mission. What's my assignment? Remind me what we talked about before I left your presence so I don't fail and die and go to hell. I got to remember that I was here with a purpose. And somewhere you and God made an agreement before you got here. Are y'all following me? You're coming up. You're coming to a new dimension. Watch this. Glory to God. When you deny yourself, you're denying this person. That's why the Bible talks about the new person or the new man. You're born again a new man. You ain't the same person you was yesterday. You ain't the moment you receive Christ, you're a new person. Because now you release that person from the... Watch this. Okay, let me say something. When you get born again, it only happens by the word of God. The word of God is incorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So the word of God is seed, and it cannot die. It's incorruptible. So that's the only way you can be born again into eternal life, believing on that word. And now, the thing about a seed is this. This is why God is going to shift my teaching style in the days to come. The thing about a seed is this. An entire tree is already compressed and packed into a tiny little seed. So we don't have to give you all the everything. We just give you the seed and then let it grow. Watch this. This is why I say the style is going to change in the days to come. You're going to get a lot less words from me, but the word of God is still seed. Watch this. The seed produced the whole tree, and the tree reproduces for generations and generations. That's how eternal life perpetuates in the believer. Watch this, though. Eternal life in you. It's a gift from God, and you got to receive it. You got to stretch forth your hand like Jesus told that man to receive it. You stretch forth your hand and say yes to God, and I receive your seed, your life, your word. But now watch this. The word of God always comes to us in seed form. The kingdom comes to us in seed form. Watch this. When you are born again, you are transitioning out of this world into the spirit world from which you came. And now everything about you has to materialize in this world from that world. You can't take it from here to there. The only thing you can do is to exit this and into that. That's the only thing you can do that's lawful in God's eyesight. When you try to take the principles of this world, the rudiments of this world, and apply it to kingdom, it equals failure. It's illegal. So what happens is you have to deny self. Turn your back on the natural world. Turn your back on the natural self. And now look up unto him who can give you everlasting life. And then he begins to teach you how to walk it out by faith. Watch this. When you walk by faith, you speak by faith. When you speak by faith, you believe what you say and you will have it. But it has to be the word of God. It has to be in line with the word. God told Abraham this. He says, I am your great and exceeding reward. So that means we got to now see him as the reward. He's the reward of righteousness. He's the reward of our faith. And the more we look unto him, the more he produces of what we need. The word of God tells us that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So if God gives it to you in glory for your life, hallelujah, 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 it is for godliness. Watch this. All right. Hebrews 11 and 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of what you hope for. So it's substance, but it ain't in this world. Glory. Watch this. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. It's substance, but it ain't of this world or in this world. Watch this. Pay attention real quick. Now faith, as the man of God always says, when? Now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Pay attention. The evidence of things not seen. Okay? So there are things, but they're not seen. There are things that exist, but you can't see it. Why? Because you got to turn your back from looking in the natural. Watch this. It's there, but it's not here. It's there. It's in existence, but not here. You got to see it over there. It's there. You got to cross over. Next dimension. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Speaking to your spirit. Hallelujah. He says, look, it's there. It's evidence of things not seen. I don't care if it look like I ain't got it. It's mine. Why? Because it's part of my inheritance. Watch this. What God says is mine is mine. That means every spirit of oppression that comes against it has got to be thrown down, cast down, and trampled on the feet. Every lie got to be cast down, trampled on the feet. Glory to God. Why? Because God says you are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That means, listen, it ain't about your ability. I hear somebody say my ability. No, it's about God's ability. But God put it in you. See, the tree is already in the seed. Glory to God. The tree is already in the seed. Watch this. So it ain't about us. Now, there is a level of self-confidence that faith will bring you to. There's a level of self-confidence that faith will bring you to. This is what happened with the man Jesus spoke to. He told him to stretch forth his arm. And because he heard the word of God, it was the word of God that produced in his hearing the faith to do it. Glory to God. See, you got to understand there's a difference between motivational speaking and holiness preaching. They kind of sound alike sometimes because the preaching of the gospel is going to edify you and tell you what you're able to do. But they're going to tell you according to the word of God. God is your maker. God is your author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So anything that leaves Jesus out the equation, it ain't gospel. I don't care how motivated you get. I don't care if they get you to walk on your fingertips. And, you know, if they can get you to stand on your head, if they can, you know, make you do anything, if they leave Jesus out of the equation, it ain't faith. It's illegal. Now, they tapped into some substance that's over there, but they didn't tap in through the door. Watch this. That means you don't even tap in. you enter in. You knock on the door, he said, knock, it shall be open. This is good gospel preaching. Watch this. He says, you knock on the door, and it shall be open. He said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. So he also says, I am the door. And everyone that does not come in through the door but enters some other way is a thief and a robber. So there are people getting substance, things in this world, calling it faith, but they didn't go in through the door. They left Jesus out the equation. It's why you got motivational speakers can motivate you, hype you up, make you a millionaire, make you a world achiever, but you still lost, dying and going to hell at the end of it if you don't repent because you don't know Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this. Cue up that song for the end of this message if you can. Do You Know Jesus? By Hezekiah Walker. I think I want to end this message on that note. But listen, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Somebody needs a good report because the devil's giving you a bad report. Told you it's cancer. Told you that there's kidney failure. Told you that they ain't going to survive. But God's word can produce life where there is no life. My God, today, the man's arm was withered, y'all. His arm was withered, dead. And Jesus told him, stretch it out anyway. Hallelujah. How can you stretch out what don't work? How can you move what's withered, which you never used a day in your life? How did he even know what muscles and nerves to articulate that movement? It was the word of God. Hallelujah. Anointed word of God. We're going to see a rise of anointed faith preaching, and it's not going to be this false doctrines that we've been filling the church houses with because it's all about stuff, but it's going to be the word of God. When we get back to the word of God, he says, faith come by hearing by the word of God. When we get back to that place, then we'll see many miracles. It ain't nothing for God to work a miracle. Listen, what we call miracles, God said, that's my reality. That's what he told me. He said, you call it miracle, I call it reality. In other words, we're trying to get God to step into our reality so that we can say, he worked a miracle. God stepped into my reality and worked a miracle. But God said, I'm trying to get you to step into my reality that you can live by faith. Jesus, help us today. Help me, because I got to be first partaker. Glory to God. Watch this. One more verse. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the world's were framed. I want you to pay attention to this real good. Through faith, we understand. You can't even understand without faith. The Lord told me to seek understanding. What he was really telling me is you got to get more faith. The more faith you get, the more I'm going to make you understand. Now watch this. This is what you need to understand. He says, through faith, we understand that the world's, not a world, the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. We got to get back to the word. Listen, this Bible is rich with the word of God. But what happens is you still got to have the oil for the lamp to work. The Holy Ghost comes in and he opens your eyes to this. He will have a mouth-to-mouth conversation with you depending on who you are in your relationship with him, he's going to have a face-to-face one-on-one. Everybody has access to Jesus. Everybody has access to the Holy Ghost. That's a believer. It's not just for the preachers or the prophets or the teachers and the apostles. No, the Holy Ghost is for all believers. The Word of God is for all believers. Now, some of us are going to teach it and receive it on a greater level because of the works we're called to and because of the people we have to feed. So some people are going to receive more because of the grace of God on their life. But at the end of the day, you still got access. He says, my sheep know my voice. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, he makes me to lie down in greener pastures. So there's greener pastures. There's going to be times that God make you lay down and he's going to feed you his word. Hallelujah. Whether he do it mouth to mouth or whether he do it mouth, you know, where he speaks to you through the mouth of a preacher. It's still the word of God when it's coming from the Spirit of Christ. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say here. He says, for by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So understand there's worlds, not a world. Okay, that I said it's there, not here. So whatever it is that's held up in your life, it exists. It's there. Now here, watch this though. To add to that, each one of us is a world of our own. When you really begin to understand the dynamics of how God made you, you are a world. You are your own world. I don't mean world like the earth is a world and people live in, but I mean you are your own spiritual reality. Now, this ain't no New Age stuff. I know some try to teach that borderline New Age stuff and mix it with the church. I'm teaching you what the Holy Spirit teaches me. You are your own world. Watch this. In this sense, you have your own imaginative realm. And imagination can create. You are made in the likeness and image of God. God creates in his imagination. Okay? But when he makes, he materializes what he sees in his world, and it shows up in this world. There's worlds. So all your stuff, that's their inheritance, is in that world. And we got to, but yet our bodies live here. And see, we're here in the body because we're on a mission to gather the rest of God's children from this fallen place. This ain't home. This world at its best is vanity. This world at its best is going to hell in the henbasket. Do you not know the Bible says that in 1 Peter 3:10, that this world and the works thereof are going to be burned up, melt with fervent heat? It's going to hell. It's going to burn. But we're here to gather God's children, to preach through the preaching of the gospel, through the living of a holy life unto the Lord God, that they may see the manifestation of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, through our lives and our works, through our words, through our choices, that they will see that Jesus is a living God, and someone's heart will be pricked to receive and believe. That's why we're here, to stop people from going to hell who wasn't meant to go to hell. Hallelujah. But every man makes a decision. Every man makes a decision. But our decision today is that we want to be of the ministry of reconciliation. We don't want to see anybody lost. We want to make you see the reality of God. God is real. He is so real. He is realer than what we think is real. See, this. Listen, the reality of this world is really the illusion. This world, the earthly world, that's the illusion. So what we're really trying to do is bring the substance of the real world into this world, that people will see the reality of God and come to him through us. Glory to God. So through faith, God can do amazing things. Listen, I don't want us to leave this message with the false understanding of this. Faith is not about things, okay? It's the substance of things not seen. So some things that are in that world and have not been seen in this world. It's the substance and evidence of things hoped for but not seen. So sometimes there's a time transition. There's a time in between the seed and the harvest. There's a time in between the transfer from that world to this world. Now, the more faith and the stronger your faith muscle, the quicker things are activated. And some things are instantaneous when the gift of faith is in operation. Everybody doesn't have the gift of faith. Everybody doesn't have that gift. So those with it tend to talk with a lot of authority and a lot of pomp and a lot of pride, and they don't understand that it's a gift and you're supposed to use it to edify the body. But the gift of faith can make things happen, boom, like that. But faith in its general form, the essence of faith, I know what I'm talking about. This, the Holy Spirit gives me this stuff. Listen, the essence of faith is this. When you translate it from that world to this world, there's a time period. You have to understand the world that God lives in is not governed by time. It's governed by God's Spirit. Okay? Now, there are laws that govern this world. Time is one. Gravity is a law. Faith is a law. Okay? But the law of faith was in existence before time. But from the beginning, God formed the worlds. Okay? So all of that is how that world works. So sometimes there's a time between the manifestation and the hope. And this is where a lot of people began to drop off. This is where a lot of people get discouraged. discouragement is heavy this time of year because, you know, this is the holiday season and some of y'all have lost loved ones this time of year, or, you know, some of you have bad childhood memories from this time of year. Some of you don't have the money right now to do what you feel you need to do because of commercialization of Christmas and all of that stuff. But we rebuke all that discouragement and depression in the name of Jesus. You got breath in your lungs and you got purpose in your life and you got faith in your belly because of the word of God. Even if you came to this line and you didn't have it, just by hearing, you're getting it now. Glory to God. So faith is powerful. It's potent. It's potent. Watch this. As we believe God for things, they don't always manifest in the timing we would like. Job was suffering. Thank you, Lord. He gave me one last point. Job was suffering for many years. And his friends, they talked and da-da-da-da-da. His wife told him to curse God. The devil was saying he's going to curse God. All that stuff happened. And he suffered for a long time. But Job had faith because he saw something in that other world. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he's going to stand on the earth in the latter day. So he's talking about something that he don't see. They don't see either. He's talking about Jesus standing on the earth, but it took a time for Jesus to stand on earth. Because listen, this world is governed by time. But he yet saw that my Redeemer is going to stand on the earth in the latter time. He also said this. Job said, he knows the way that I take, and at the appointed time, my change shall come. So he did not stop believing God, but he knew that God has appointed times in this world for certain things. There's a time for everything and a purpose there's a time for everything and a season for every purpose under the sun. So everything has its time and every season has its purpose. Get that? So Job said, in my appointed time. So some things don't happen immediately. We assume people don't have faith. Don't do that. You'll be like Job's friends, and later on you're going to have to repent and leave the offering and have him pray for you because it just wasn't time yet. So we have to be careful judging faith things that are not seen when faith is all about the unseen anyway. Now, I'm going to leave with this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, somewhere in there, it says that faith worketh by love. I'm going to leave with love. I want to try to leave every message from here on out with love, because the most powerful substance we have is not faith, it's love. Why? Because faith worketh by love. In other words, love produces more faith. The greater levels of faith are found in the love of God. Listen, he says, now these three abide: hope, faith, and charity. Charity means love in action. Okay? Real love in action. He says, these three abide. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, if you need a scripture reference. He says, these three abide. That means continually. They're not going to go anywhere. He says, hope, faith, and love. So all three are eternal. Three, the greatest is love. So love is greater than hope and faith. That means it's like a bowl inside of a bowl. Love is a bowl, but inside of that bowl is a bowl called faith, and inside of that bowl is a bowl called hope. So when your hope bowl gets full, it overflows into faith. And when your faith bowl gets full, it overflows into love. And it all just compasses itself with more love, because love is going to continue to produce more and more faith. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, that means multiply and increase, evil in the world, darkness in the hearts of men. He says, because that's going to it's going to increase. He says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24, 12. The love of many shall wax cold. He didn't say their faith, because the devil knows if he gets your love, he got your faith. So now we have to transition in the renewing of the mind and begin to really examine, am I loving my brother or my sister? I told you earlier about the right hand and the left hand, the sheep and the goats. You read that in Matthew 25. He really is talking about those who love and those who don't love. How can we say we believe God and have faith but not have the works to follow it? We see a need and we won't meet the need. That's not faith, because, listen, to know to do good and don't, he says, to you is sin. So it all goes back to love. It all goes back to love, because Our faith is built on the foundation of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, back to the foundation now, shall not perish but have everlasting life. To God be the praise. Thank you all for listening who have listened in. If there's any comments, praise reports, prayer requests, you can dial one and someone will bring you in. I am done. You are dismissed. Father God, let your hand be upon them through this holiday season. We bind all tragedy. We command the enemy not to have any access to the lives of the hearers on today, Lord God. We just block all the things the enemy has plotted to bring devastation in the lives of your children. And Lord, let us stay watchful even through this holiday season. And Lord, we just pray your choice blessings upon each one, and that their faith begin to rise and grow and leap in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed. As I said, you can dial one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I've learned to just have faith in God.
Everything and not know him. You need to confess him today.
Confess him with your mouth. Believe him in your heart. Do you know Jesus? You can know Jesus in your heart. Confess him with your mouth. Believe him in your heart. Do you know Jesus?
this time of celebrating the birth of Jesus and celebrating the stories. But the most important thing for me is to walk like Jesus in this season. No, he won't be born again. He won't be persecuted again. He will not be beaten again. He will not be crucified again. He will not die again. He won't get up again. He is alive today. So how do we really celebrate Jesus? In closing today, as on exalting Jesus, and I thank God for the opportunity, is that are we really exalting him? Because, see, when you exalt in him, you mean you exemplify him. When you exalt him, you testify about him. When you exalt him, it's not about you, but it's about him. And when it's about him, that involves helping those that need help, helping those that have done you wrong, blessing those that have cursed you, praying for those that have used you. Ultimately, following Jesus is sharing his love with somebody. And if you don't dial one and you don't have prayer, my encouragement, my challenge for each and every one of us is one word of life to not the person that's in the house, but the person that got put out the house, not the person that's attending the family dinner, the one that is excluded from the family dinner, not the one that's at the church house or at a familiar place, but that one that is in darkness. One word to let them know to come out, and that's Jesus. That's the true reason for the season of Jesus, is that we now know what he's done. It's already done, finished, and completed. But now what do we do to walk like him? What do we do to talk like him? What do we do to show up and show out? Because, you know, Jesus was good at, I heard that in the message today. He was so good at showing up and showing out. So many times when people had given up and people had already started the procession of a funeral, and he had to show up so miraculously and give life. Are we doing the same thing? And that's my encouragement and my challenge to you, to let the Lord speak to you clearly on the one that you need to release. There's one person that just one word of encouragement saying that I really forgive you. I know we don't fight anymore, and I know people say that it's over, but you may need to just hear it. One word to someone can change their life, and it's only by Christ. Amen. No one has dialed one. Awesome word of God, man. Awesome word of God, man of God. I'm truly encouraged, and I celebrate Jesus by telling someone about him, and I thank God for you. God bless you, family.
Call me and don't feel me near you, will you still trust me? What if I tell you to let go of the very thing that you think you have to hold? Will you trust me? Yes.
Yes, Lord.
I'll trust you, Lord. What if it costs my life? Yes. I'll trust you, Lord. What if I lose the very thing I love so dear? Yes. Somebody say, yes, I'll trust you, Lord. Somebody say, yes. Come on, put your hands up and say, yes, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I can hear Jesus singing. He says this.
I know that he is easy. Everything is going well, but can you still believe in me when your life's a living hell? Oh, and when all the things around you seem to quickly fade away, There's just one thing I really want to know. Will you let go?
Will
you stand on my word? Against all odds, will you
you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.